Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only hilarious Colin Mockery, who's coming to the Kennedy Center for the Second City Guide to the Symphony on September 15th through the 17th. Three shows. Colin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Explain exactly what this is. So we get a little bit of NSO Pops orchestral stuff, but then we also get live sketch comedy that we, you know, of the Second City variety. Explain how you kind of marry those two things.
I wish I could take credit for the idea. I think it started in Second City, Chicago. They did it with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and it went really well. It's a chance to see the symphony in a different light. Second City does sketches based on various composers or members of the audience, anything to do with symphony or the orchestra. And then the orchestra actually plays a couple of beautiful I guess not called songs. What were they called? Pieces, I guess.
Composition.
I'm still not up on all my classical lingo.
That's okay. What is Colin Mockery's role? Are you in the improv group, or what is your role?
Yes. Well, obviously I'm the sex. I'm the guy that gets everyone out there.
They're the sex appeal.
Yeah. I'm sort of the host. I introduce scenes. I do a couple of scenes. We do some improv. We do a scene where we make the entire orchestra, or the entire audience, do an orchestral piece, which is always fun.
That is really fun. Who do we got in this group of comedians? Do you know any of the names?
Yes, it's the same group we did a show with, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra here. They're all very talented young people.
Gotcha. And you yourself have a really personal connection there, because you started back at Second City back in, what was it, like in the 80s?
Yeah, back in the last century. Yeah. 87.
Yeah, now, where were you born? You're from Canada, right? How did you make your way down to Second City?
There's a Second City in Toronto.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Shortly after Chicago, Second City took off. They did one up in Toronto. It's where people like Dan Aykroyd and Martin Short, well, basically the entire cast of SCTV got started.
Gotcha.
Very near and dear to my heart. The woman who became my wife actually hired me for Second City. So it's a big part of my life. I got a career there, and I got a family, so it's all worked out nicely.
You said your wife, is this Deborah? You said that she was the one that hired you? Go more into that, and how did that blossom into more?
Okay, well, sit back and relax. The audition process is quite grueling. You know, it takes like 3 hours, and, you know, they start with like 50 people, and it willows it down to a small group. So after hours of auditions, she came up and said, well, it was between you and the cute guy, and you got it. So based on that, I immediately fell in love with her, and about a year later, we started going out.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, I'm glad that all worked out. Professionally and personally, all started taking off around the same time. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank God the cute guy didn't make it.
Deep down, she probably thought you were the cute guy, so, you know.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, let's just keep telling herself that. So from there, how did you get on that to Whose Line? That's what we all remember. There was the British version first, right? You were part of that mm-hmm. original incarnation. How did you get recruited for that?
Well, I was doing a show at Second City, and the producers of Whose Line were doing a cross North America audition tour, and they saw our show, liked the cast, and then auditioned us the next day, and none of us got it. because we're doing that thing you're supposed to do in improv, where you're very supportive and everyone works in an ensemble and makes the other person look good.
Right.
And then the next year, Deb and I had moved down to L.A. They were going through again auditioning. And at that point, I didn't know anyone I was auditioning with, so I was like, hey, screw you, look at me. And I got the part.
Awesome.
A valuable lesson for the young people out there.
Yeah, there you go. Just say, screw you, I got the part, and then you're golden. How did that one sort of compare? Because I have my thoughts as a viewer, but working on the show, how did that compare to the American version with Drew Carey on ABC? Which one did you prefer?
You're trying to get me in trouble. The actual working of the show was totally the same. It was the same producers, so we always, you know, the setup for the day was the same. We'd come in, do sort of a camera blocking, so the camera guys would know sort of the parameters of the scene we were doing.
Right.
And basically, that was it. So the only difference was in Britain, we had a little more leeway to be naughty.
Gotcha.
Because there was no censorship. Whereas in America, when the show moved there, it was very odd the first couple of years because we had no idea where the line was.
Right.
There were some things that they would censor that I thought were quite innocent, and then there were things that would let in that I thought, I can't believe that got by.
So it wasn't just whose line, it was where's the line?
Yeah, exactly. So pretty early on we decided, obviously, we're going to do a show that we hope gets on television, so we're not going to be filthy and, do weird things. So I think we were pretty good, although, every once in a while something would slip out that we obviously didn't mean.
Yeah, plus, I guess on under the Disney umbrella, ABC, it's a little different production there. Well, what about audience-wise, though? Did you find it was, do British audiences find different things funnier than American audiences? Did you have to, tailor it that way, or are you pretty much just the same, same old, same old?
Pretty much the same old, because they get, they get a lot of American television in Britain, so they were sort of up on American things, so we didn't have to worry about references.
Right.
They're a little more laid back. The American audiences tend to whoop a lot. The British don't understand whooping at all.
Awesome. Yeah, dish on all your co-stars there, at least the major ones. I know you guys had some rotating members, but, embarrass Drew Carey for me for a second.
Oh, I wish I could. He's just...
Or say nice things about him, either.
He's the sweetest, the most generous person I've ever met. If you get to know a multimillionaire, make sure they're really generous.
Right.
He would take us out on trips, with our families, with the crew members, just these incredible trips on his own dime, and was very supportive of the show. And it was basically on his say-so that the show got produced in America.
Yeah.
So I'm always thankful to him.
Yeah, it was just great watching him cracking up at the desk too. He would lose it just with you, along with
yeah.
Everybody.
He was like one of the biggest fans of the show.
Yeah, he was like another audience member, a huge fan. Ryan Stiles was sort of your your yin and yang there, man. What was he like? Behind the scenes, and then also working with him on stage.
He's pretty much the same. We grew up together, so we had been improvising together for years before we did Whose Line. He's just really laid back. I mean, I don't find him amusing at all, so, I think that's part of the secret of our success. He adores me. But it's always I only get to see him now, twice a year when we're filming Whose Line.
Really?
I actually... Because he changed all his phone numbers, and of course he never told anyone, I had to friend his daughter in Facebook to get a message to him, which I've never felt creepier. Thank God, she knows who I am, and I've been there since her birth. But right. It still was kind of weird reaching out, going, "Hey, tell your dad to call me."
Now, see, I didn't, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't know either. But I didn't realize you guys grew up together. Like, what age did you meet?
God, we were fairly young. Early 20s, doing stand-up. I was doing improv. Then our mutual friend got us together, and his stand-up always contained a lot of improv.
Right.
Because his stand-up wasn't that good. It was all Dolly Parton jokes. So we started improvising together, and pretty much from the first time, it was just magical.
Do you think that translates even today? I mean, sometimes it seems like you guys are reading each other's minds out there.
It really helps that we do have this great relationship on and off stage. And when we're improvising, I pretty much know where he's going 90% of the time. And when I don't, I trust him enough to just follow along and see what happens. So it's nice to be able to have that kind of a relationship.
And one more of the guys, Wayne Brady. That guy. How does he just think so fast on his feet and come up with those song lyrics? I've never really seen anyone be able to do it like him.
He's actually a Disney animatronic. There is
all
no,
this
Wayne Brady.
We didn't all this time. We thought it was a real person.
I know, and I probably am going to get in trouble for revealing this. Yeah, he was made from spare parts of old Hall of Presidents.
or Pirates of the Caribbean or one of the others.
Yeah.
That's great. But what, I mean, is he as nice off screen as he is on? I mean, he seems like a sweet dude on screen.
Oh, no, he's horrible. He pistol whipped me the first time I met him. I just met him, and he pistol whipped me.
How dare he? Like the Chappelle skit?
Yeah.
That's the real win.
I have to say, we've been really lucky with the cast. You know, Wayne and Ryan and Brad and Greg and Jeff Davis, Chip Esten, who used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A great bunch of people. I think that was also part of the allure of the show. Audiences could tell we all got along and really enjoyed each other. So I think that's part of the reason the show's still going. We have such a short shooting schedule, it's like, you know, a couple of weeks out of the year, that we don't spend enough time with each other to get on each other's nerves. So it's always nice when we see each other.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and as you mentioned, sort of, you know, there's the new version on CW hosted by Aisha Tyler. What has this incarnation been, you know, the experience of this been compared to the old Drew days? Is it a lot of carryover?
Yeah, we're moving a little slower. there are, I remember I was flipping through the television, and there was a Whose Line was on, and I was watching a scene I was doing, and I thought, wow, I can't do that anymore. That physical thing, I cannot do. So that's, we've been using, you know, our wily veteran skills to get around things like that, and make it look like we're actually moving more than we are.
Nice. Well, that helps when you're an animatronic like Wayne.
It really does. Brady's fine.
Did you have any, you know, like a favorite improv game, like Scenes from a Hat or the props or the hoedowns? Or, I mean, and you, well, and Ryan, well, you and Ryan were great.
It was never the hoedowns. my favorite consistently was Greatest Hits, because it was a chance for Ryan and I to sit down first and just kind of riff and, you know, goof around, and then hand it over to these incredible singers who would, you know, knock it out of the park with these amazing songs. So it was sort of my favorite because I got to be a participant and a viewer at the same time.
I remember, forgive me if I'm, you know, misremembering, but I think there was one of those in the Greatest Hits where you just got Ryan busting up, doubled over when you did a tapioca.
Yeah. It was so sad. I mean, the reason he broke up was so idiotic. It was, but it was like a personal thing.
Yeah.
He thought I sounded like Colonel Klink from Hogan's Heroes, which was something but it was something that any other improviser, nothing would have, it wouldn't have fazed him at all. But because we sort of had this personal history, it just set him off. And I love that. What I love about it is when you break someone up, you never go, oh, I'm going to help them regain composure. No, you just go, oh, I'm going to make it worse for them.
Yeah, you keep twisting the knife and getting to laugh harder.
Yeah.
What you mentioned, it wasn't the hoedowns. Why did you hate the Irish jigs?
I don't mind the Irish jig. It's just, you know, the songs are not my area.
Right.
I have charm and commitment, but that's it.
Right, right. Well, you're great at sort of the you know, Greatest Hits and the newscasts and the Scenes from a Hat and all that. So that's more your forte. We'll leave the rest to Wayne.
Exactly.
Awesome. Did you have any like, which celebrity guests were sort of the memorable ones? I remember there was like I think Richard Simmons one was hilarious. And did you have Robin Williams on once too?
We did have Robin Williams, yeah. Which was great. We're all very excited by that because he was, you know, an inspiration to all of us. He was sort of the improv master we'd all hoped to be. So, and he was the nicest man. He was one of those who knew the crew's names almost immediately. You know, and he was an Oscar winner, and he was goofing around on this show with us. It was just great. Sid Caesar was also great. He was one of my idols when I was growing up. The Richard Simmons sketch is the one that people always, if somebody doesn't know Whose Line Is It Anyway, that's the scene people will show them. I truly think it was one of the funniest scenes ever in the history of television. It was, and God bless him, he was just so committed.
Totally. I mean, I was crying watching that thing, and you guys were on stage too. That's what made it so great.
It was a lot of fun.
That's great. Awesome. Well, just, you know, bringing it full circle, wrapping it back around here. You know, why should our listeners come out to the Kennedy Center to see this Second City Guide to the Symphony? You know, why should they come out?
You're going to see some great music. You're going to see some very funny comedy. And at one point, everyone will be totally nude.
Does that include you and the audience? Or?
Well, I come and see.
Awesome. Perfect place to leave it. Colin Mockery, thanks so much for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.